Good morning. It's good to be back here with the family of God again. Debbie and I left yesterday early in the morning just to give us a little time to enjoy the North Shore. And of course, God gave us a great day. Deep blue water, crystal clear sky, about a 25 mile an hour wind coming off the lake. So we knew every stop we made, we had air conditioning. And we stopped and took some pictures, did a little hiking. We just had a great day. As soon as we got out of Duluth, of course, the peace of the North Shore kind of settles. You know what that's like? Coming out of the big city, we pulled into town, went into the supermarket and got some bread and ran into somebody we knew and got a warm welcome. Showed up at Gordon's Russell's Cottages for a bed and got a warm welcome. Somebody from the church called me that we were trying to connect with today or tomorrow, got a warm welcome. And I thought, people come up to the North Shore because of Lake Superior, the largest freshwater lake in the world. They come up for the forest, for the fishing, for the hiking, all the beauty that it offers. But Debbie and I primarily come here because of God's people, this wonderful church. It means so much to us. And we always tell each other it's a home away from home. So God bless you folks for being a loving body of believers and being steadfast on what you're doing, presenting Christ here in this place. Thank you for the great music this morning. It was wonderful. I'd also want to bring greetings from Park Community Church. That's my son Andrew's church. Him and Ben Brandt are pastors there. They planted a church about 4 years ago and ended up merging with a declining evangelical free church in St. Louis Park. Now it's a growing church. During the school year, they have two services because they don't have enough room for everybody. It's going really well. And I get to sit and listen to my son preach every Sunday. And he even tells funny jokes about when he was a kid at the Grand Marais Church having to listen to his dad's boring sermons. So, of course, I have to challenge him on that quite often. So today I'd like to talk about the peace of God that passes all understanding. What a day and age we need to have peace, amen? You read the news, you watch the news, you talk to people, you see the trends of men, nations, and families, and countries, and communities. And peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that God offers to all of us. Open up to John chapter 14. And I'm going to primarily read verse 25 through 29. But I'm going to read a little bit in the midway of the passage. John chapter 14, starting with verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now jump over to verse 25. These things have I spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I am. Peace I leave with you. Say that to yourself. Peace I leave with you. It's a hard thing to find nowadays. You know, peace is not a concept, but a spiritual reality that is available to all of God's people. In fact, the Scripture says God gives us peace that surpasses all understanding and will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know how many times in the confusion of my own mind and in the worry and in the anxiety and all the things of life I have quoted that scripture? guide my mind and heart, Lord, bring me peace. And it doesn't always happen. Have you ever been there? Come on, be honest. I know you haven't been there. But God promises to us. So why? What is this peace? This peace is rooted in the real presence of the Holy Spirit in our life when the supernatural, undefinable, almost mysterious transaction takes place during the born-again experience, which can vary in method, vary in emotion, vary in denominational persuasion and personal perception. Having a relationship with God and allowing Christ to come into our hearts, that supernatural transaction is made. Some of you can remember real clear when it took place. I remember when it happened to me. I was sitting in a little church in Duluth, Minnesota, in a little tiny office, talking with the pastor and confessing my sins and knowing I needed God. And the pastor said, well, let's pray. So we prayed, and literally the room was filled with this awesome presence that I didn't know existed. And it was like I didn't know where I was, what I was doing, who I was praying with, but God was in the room. And I felt that peace that passes all understanding. Everybody doesn't have those same kind of experiences. But when you give your heart to Jesus, there's a supernatural transaction that takes place. And you are inhabited by God. You become a child of God. And the peace that He can give is available to you. So it's rooted in that born-again experience. It's also rooted in and anchored in the knowledge of Scripture. And the conviction that there's one God who created us, who loves us, is with us regardless of life's peaks and valleys. We can more readily sense His peace while we live in the knowledge that our life is deeply meaningful. It's a personal enterprise that God gives you at birth. It's entrusted to us. Our life is entrusted to us by God. And when we understand that that life is short, it's guided by Him with eternal heaven waiting for us to be received by Jesus and our loved one that's gone before us, the clear doctrinal truths of the Bible and the reflection of the state of the world and the history of man and nations continue to draw us back to the anchor of our soul, the Prince of Peace. And you know what? Oftentimes I've thought about all this, peace is rooted in the born-again experience. It's rooted in the truth of Holy Scripture. It's rooted in the fact to understand the one true God and our life is short and all this stuff happening around us we can't have control over. And we go back to the Prince and Bishop of our soul, the Lord Jesus, and realize He's got things under control because we're His children. And you know what the Apostle Peter said? Lord, where can we go? For You alone have the words of eternal life. Think about it for a minute. When you're faced with the reality of the ups and downs of life, there's no place to go but to Jesus. Amen? He's the anchor of our soul. So the peace we're talking about is not based on circumstances. If that were the case, we'd be really big in trouble because we have big circumstances every day. Now, if you were to look at Ken Peterson, I'm not really the peaceable type of guy because I'm a type A. I mean, I practice it. I try to work it. I try to treat everybody peacefully. But if you observe me, I'm a pretty nervous guy. I can't sit still very long. I'm up and down looking for something to do. I got to have a project all the time. I got to be going someplace all the time. My wife's laughing at me and shaking her head. Now, I can sit for 3 minutes and meditate. Debbie can sit for 2 hours and meditate about something. But we're different personalities. But that doesn't mean in all my busy activity I can't have the peace of God. Why? Because it's rooted in the relationship with God. It's rooted in Scripture. It's rooted in the knowledge of who He is. It's rooted in the knowledge of where I'm going. And it's rooted in the knowledge that, like Peter, where can I go? For You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. So whatever you're going through today, you might not feel it. Last night, I arrived at Gordon's place. We stay in his loft when we come up and went in to see him, and he's laying in the chair, and he had towels all around his neck and his head. He was in terrible pain from a muscle issue in his neck. And I don't think Gordon was sitting there having peace that passes all understanding. All he wanted to do was deal with the pain. So we took him up and got him some help from Dr. Dahlman and came home, and he was resting fine. Now today I think he's got to go for further treatment. He asked for prayer, actually. But our peace cannot be based on circumstances. The peace of God, Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The day you said yes to Jesus and you meant it and he came in, you're justified with God just as if you have never sinned. And you have legal peace with God the Father. You have legal standing, peaceful standing with God the Father, and then you go and live your life. You know, peace of God is robbed from us when we're sinning, when we're not faithful to what God has called us to do. And we all know what that's like. We get off the mark. We do something we're not supposed to do. We start drifting away from God, and that peace starts diminishing and going away from our heart. But the fact is that we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. That means we can go back to God again and again and again and claim our promise of justified peace before the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can trust God's promise and God's character. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is what?
Faithful.
Just.
And
to?
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I'm glad the church knows that verse. That's an important verse to know. Because the mind, the heart can be really deceptive and wicked, and the world presses in. And we need to know that if we confess our sin, any sin, God will forgive it. We need to trust God. What is trust? Trust is firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, the character, or strength of someone. Think about that. Does God have the ability? Yes. Does he have the character? Yes. Does he have the reliability? Yes. Is he truth? Yes. So when we're wrestling for peace with God and it's a sin issue, a disobedience issue, we can rest in God that he's truth, he's reliable, he has the ability to take us from where we are to where we need to be. Another scripture you should really know that will help in times of wrestling with the Lord. 1 John 3:20, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Think about the beauty of that scripture. Confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, but yet I'm still wrestling with what I did, what I want to do, and how I'm going to live. And I want to get back to that mark, but the scripture says, if our heart is condemning us, you know, sometimes you confess your sin, but you can't forgive yourself. The devil comes along and breathes in your ear, you're no good, you did that, there's no forgiveness. God is greater than our own heart. Beautiful scripture. You might need that sometime. Think about that. So not understanding the depth of God's peace leaves us when we don't understanding the depth of God's grace for us. Don't understand his beautiful grace, it can rob us of the peace. Sometimes understanding God's grace takes years of experience in getting older and becoming mature. Do you think that's right? We live with ourselves, we live with other people, we deal with other people. I tell people all the time, God's people are the best people on the earth, regardless of their foibles, their weaknesses, and the way we treat each other at times. I really believe that. And sometimes it takes experience in the arena of life to understand how deep and lasting God's grace is. You know, I left the Union Gospel Mission 4 years ago, where we housed 450 homeless men, women, and children. I started working part-time for a national association, and my job is to visit missions all over the country and meet with the executive director, encourage him, give him some guidance, him or he or she, give him guidance, encourage him, talk through personnel issues, fundraising issues, just be a helper coming alongside. And when the men and women, homeless men and women, come into the mission and you see the terrible condition they have been in, and they get the women and kids specifically get a clean hotel room of their own, where the bed has been made with a handmade quilt for some of the church ladies, and they got their own shower, their own bathroom, their own little kitchenette, and all of a sudden they sit down and they feel peace and safe, and they cry because of God's grace. And you see that, you understand how deep and how long and how reaching God's grace is for people. So as you wrestle and you look for the peace, don't forget God's grace. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I prayed out of his unlimited resources, he will grant you mighty strength in the inner man. And I pray that your heart will go deep, deep, deep into the root of God's marvelous love. And may you, as all of God's people should, understand how wide, how high, how deep, and how broad God's love really is. Though it is so great, you'll never fully comprehend it. But when you get to know the love of Christ, you will be filled with all the fullness of God's Spirit. Now he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's out of the New Living Translation of Ephesians 3:14 through 20. I probably missed a statement or two in there. But I wanted to quote that to you because it's such a beautiful picture of the grace of God. One night in 2011, I was wrestling in bed. I had several really tough personnel issues I had to deal with. And you know what it's like. When you got something heavy, financial, relational, physical, whatever it might be, working in your life and you can't sleep. Does anybody ever deal with that? Anybody lay awake at night worrying and think about things? I think we do. So I'm laying there wrestling and I didn't know what to do, and I just happened to have the Living Bible sit in my bed, and I pulled it open and I read that verse. And the first one that says, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I stopped. I said, what am I worried about? When I think of the wisdom of his plan, the scope of what he's given me, I just need to pray to the Father. So peace with God is there. What is it rooted in? Anybody? Our born again experience. What is it rooted in? Truth of Scripture. What is it rooted in? Knowing who God is. What is it rooted in? God loves us deeply. He's got a plan for our life. He's given us an enterprise to live. And he does. Jesus says it right here. I will be with you and I will be in you. Okay, interpersonal peace. How many find this elusive? The elder is being honest. Nobody else is. How many find interpersonal peace elusive at times? We do, don't we? I know you do. So the end of the month, right? Or the end of the week when you're trying to reconcile your checkbook and there's not enough money to cover the bills. We've all been there. And you're trying to wonder how you're going to make ends meet. And all of a sudden you manage it and you pay that final bill and you say, okay, I'm done now for another week. I don't have to fight that battle. You get some peace out of that, right? How about when you get bad news from the doctor? That inner peace isn't always there. We're not feeling it. We're not sensing it. What about when a family member or a child makes the wrong decision or gets into trouble? Our peace can leave us. Can't be circumstantial. It's got to go back to what's written in the scripture and the contract, the grace God has given us as his child. Broken marriage, pending divorce, can take that peace. Business ventures that fail. How about if you feel like you missed your career goal or your dream job and it's too late to pursue it? That can be a pretty unpeaceful thing, can't it? How about when you've been dealt a big issue in life and you know it's not going to change? Just for illustration, our daughter Wendy, when just a wonderful, beautiful little Christian girl at 16, she was diagnosed with a brain injury and she had to have brain surgery twice. And she's got tremendous physical and mental deficits, and we're just getting ready to move her into a fourth group home. And my wife has spent literally years of time, medical appointments, phone calls, social worker appointments, emergency surgeries. The list goes on and on and on. And here we are. Wendy's now 49 years old, and it hasn't quit. Debbie and I look at each other sometimes, and we comment, you know, the scripture says that, where's my verse? All things work together for the good of those that love God and are called into his purpose. If we're honest, we can say, how has this turned out for the good? Have you ever thought that? You know? So let's be real with life. That peace we're talking about doesn't come from circumstances, doesn't come from the ups and downs, doesn't come for having your act together, doesn't have everything lined up perfectly the way we want our life to be. The peace of God comes from God based on what he's done for us, our reaction to it, and how we believe deeply in the doctrinal tenets of Scripture, which are real and powerful, are there for us. Amen? Jesus said, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. You know, read the Psalms. I'm sure you do that. When you read the Psalms, you're quite convinced that King David and the author of the Psalms, they were dealing with some pretty severe bipolar disorder. You open up the song, Lord, I praise you for all the wonderful things in your creation. Two verses later, why have you deserted me? I'm like the jackals out in the wilderness. Oh, all the energy has flown out, and I'm out here, and everybody's against me. Then at the end of the psalm, oh, I praise you for who you are, O Lord God. Kind of like this, right? That doesn't describe any of us, does it? You know, the thing is, God is with us. He's in us. He understands us. We live in a world that is not the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. We're traveled through once. We have an enterprise, a gift, a personal enterprise, your life, what you do with it before God. And you know what? There's really good news because every day is a good day. There might be somebody sitting there today thinking, man, I wish I could go back and change the past, start over, and recalibrate where I'm going in life. Well, you can, but you got to start today. Forget which is be past and past. Stretch on to what's before the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a new day. Today is a new day. You can walk out of church this morning, go home and say, praise God. I've got grace. I've got a contract with God. I'm justified. My life is special in his eyes. Nobody like me in the world. And God wants me to put that to use with his love. Peace with others is another thing. Peace with God, personal peace and then peace with others. That's the hard part, isn't it, sometimes? The scripture tells us in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. God commands it. We can do it. If the other person we're trying to have peace with doesn't want to cooperate, we can't. Then we just need to say we did our part. You know, we tried to make amends. We tried to forgive people. You know what the wonderful feeling? We probably have all been there. You've had an out with a friend. You've had a disagreement with a church member. You've had a disagreement in a business contract. And maybe both of you were to blame. Maybe one or the other just kind of misunderstood what was taking place. And you kind of feel your heart tightening up and bound up, and you don't like the feeling. And somehow, you get the courage, you get the humility, and you go to that person, and you try to make amends, and you sit down and you talk it through. You come to an agreement and say, yeah, I was wrong, you were wrong, I misunderstood this, and maybe we still don't agree on the issue, but I want to have peace between us. You agree to disagree. And all of a sudden, the tension between you goes away. What a wonderful feeling. We've all been there. Peace with God because who God is. Inner peace that we have to sometimes wrestle to get, and we have to go back to what we know to be true to apprehend that inner peace. And then peace with others. You look at the world. It's an awful place when you look out what's happening. If you read history and the history of men and nations, it's not a very pretty sight. If you look at the church and God's people and the good people, I'm always convinced 95% of the people in the world are good and trying to do good. Sometimes we watch the news or read the news or whatever, we get the impression 100% of the people are bad. Well, that's not true. News media just wants to generate a story, right? Peace with God, peace with self, and peace with others. Colossians 3:14-16, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. Think about it. Stop for a minute. Think about yourself. Are you letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart? That's such a beautiful thought, concept in Scripture. He offers it to us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Jesus, in leaving this earth, calling himself the Prince of Peace, over in John 20:19, on the evening of the day, the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, when the disciples were there for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. So Jesus came to this world to offer peace through the blood of his cross, to reconcile a dying, dead, sinful world to a holy, loving, gracious God, a personal God who loves you right where you're at today. right where you're at, regardless of the past, regardless of the future, right here and now. He said, I'm going to leave my peace with you because I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when he is leaving this earth, realizing there are going to be another 2,000 years or 3,000 years or how many knows how many years before he returns again to this earth, he knew his followers were going to have to deal with tribulation and trouble in the world. But he says, I've overcome it. I leave my peace with you. Amen. Because justified by faith, you have peace with God. The super power, supernatural knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and the fact that God knows you and you know him, and your life has deep significance to him, regardless of where you're at, what you're doing. Let tomorrow be a new day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's so wonderful to look into the Scripture and to preach the Scripture. Lord, cognizant of the fact that I, like everybody else here, we don't always have that peace. Sometimes we have to wrestle to get it. But we have to turn back to who you are, how you love us, how you travel with us, what you've written, and the promises about the present and the future. Bless the Grand Marais Free Church. God, to us, it's a home away from home. Thank you for the work that's taken place here. Lift up Dave and Dale as they travel. Give them rest, restoration. Pray for Gordon, who's having this neck issue, possibly going to Duluth to see a doctor. And anybody else here, God, that's wrestling with health issues, we pray for healing and for help. And Lord, most of all, I pray you would honor this sermon today. Your people would walk out in peace and walk this week in peace. For the glory of God, for the reflection of Jesus in Grand Marais and Cook County. Amen.